And blessed to be a part of your day, Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio, joined by our great friend Dave Petso. And it's the end of the year, and what a year it's been for Dave's beloved markets. We'll take your calls at 580-5436-580-KIDO. But we were talking a little about service just moments ago and phones and such.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some people still go to these places called stores. Now, let me ask you a personal question. Do you go to the store or do you do it electronically to pay your
bills? Depends on what I'm doing. But, yeah, I like to go see the phone and things like that. You know, maybe I'll do research electronically and then I'll go to the store and look at them.
But for your monthly bill.
Oh, the monthly bill?
Yeah. Do you go to the store? Or wait a minute, you probably have someone that does that for you.
To go to the store to pay a bill?
I do.
You do not? No, really?
I do. I go to the store to pay a bill. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share something with you because this is something that, you know, it's nonpartisan. It's non this. It's non that. But I think it really reflects just what is good leadership and what is good service. So you have Verizon. I have Verizon,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're the big muckety mucks. We pay extra for Verizon, and we don't have the other service that's, you know, affordable, more affordable, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I've been with Verizon since it was Cellular One, that sort of thing. Maybe you have as well.
Yeah, a long time.
I like the idea that if you're a Verizon customer, it's free when you call another Verizon customer.
Oh, yeah.
So, unlike you, I go to the Verizon store to pay my bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first Verizon store I went to, the people were very nice, and they were busy, but they said, you know, if you go to the corporate store anymore, they won't even transfer the data from your phone to your other phone because, sorry, you're out of luck. And I used to go to the corporate stores, right?
Right. Right.
Actually, I used to use this thing called mail. I would actually mail bills in. But then I said, well, I want to save on the stamps. I'll just go into the store. So I go into one store, and they're very nice, very appreciative, but they're kind of busy. So I go into another store, and this guy goes, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a monkey. What do you do for a living? And I didn't say that I was a monkey, but I said, and I always loved saying this to people, I'm in sales and marketing. How can I help you market your business? And that usually shuts them up.
Right, right.
Right.
That would do it. Because now a pitch is coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was trying to head this guy off from pitching me.
You're right.
So he goes, what kind of phone? A 6 Plus? That still works? And I said, surprisingly, it works enough to remind me to come here and pay the bill so that I can continue on. And the guy goes, you know, they've been having a lot of trouble with those phones. Did you ever think of upgrading? No. This is what we call paid for, and I like it.
Right.
So kept going off to a bad start with this guy, and he just kept trying to upsell me and upsell me and upsell me. So third Verizon store, I go, see what you're missing when you don't pay your bills at the store?
You have to go to three stores, yeah.
Right. It wasn't that I was just finding stores closer to the broadcast center.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the last Verizon store I go to, right here off Broadway, nice young man, although I don't like him because he has a hair bun, and I am follically envied to anyone who has a hair bun, although that really wouldn't work with conservative talk radio having a hair bun, but
no.
You see where I'm going.
No, don't do a bun.
Right. They actually have fake buns for men now that you can use.
Seriously?
Yes. I don't know how that would work with my...
I don't understand how they find partners. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we appreciate that, Dave Petso, but I was going to go back to my receding hairline. But however, so I'm talking to this young man, and he goes, oh, yep, 6 Plus, da-da-da-da-da. And I even asked him about the new iPhones. And I said, you know, bro, what do you think? He goes, yeah, they do this, this, and this. And then he looks at that I've been paying for insurance for the phone because, as Dave Petso would tell you, it's always good to have these things insured, and you're good to go. And he saved me some money because your phone's paid off. If something happens to the phone, you're probably going to get the brand new Zip Zap Zoom,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, do you know how much the new iPhone is? Take a guess.
$1,000.
Really? No.
Okay, $1,200.
You can get an iPhone for $1,000 or $1,100. But the super duper zip zap zoom, hey, I got my iPhone. How much do you think that is?
The kind of one you want to do a selfie and tell everybody I got this one?
Right, because they have this thing where you can blur the background called a portrait type thing. But please continue. I've got
$1,400.
$1,500 or $1,600.
Wow.
It's now, again, I don't know a gig from a MIG from a whatever.
Right.
256 gigabytes.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and
that's astounding when you think about how does it all fit in there?
Right, right. And it's even more astounding when you think you have to jam it in. But it's even more astounding when you go back to, you remember the Voyager probes, right? Voyager
yes.
1, Voyager 2.
One of the best Star Trek ones, I thought.
No, the satellites.
I know.
Okay.
It was on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the satellites, I am in love with Voyager 1 and Voyager 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they were talking about the amount of computer space that they had.
Yep.
Your key fob, not your key fob, your remote control, your car actually has more computer space than those Voyager probes.
Wow, that's incredible. I know. It's astounding.
So back to, do you really need in the world of cloud 256 gigs? I don't know. I remember when 64, and I think this phone has only like 16. Ooh. But you think about just the upsell and servant leadership, like we were talking about off the air. Here this guy is, instead of trying to upsell me or being rude or obnoxious, and I don't think the guy at the other store was trying to be. He was just overly aggressive. You think, wow, this guy has given me value. And it's something you can get anywhere.
Yep. Super value. I think that's a key to small business and what's different about it. You know, when you and I were talking about that, it's as a big business, upselling, that's what we do. And, you know, you have to have general rules that apply in all circumstances. You can't give people huge latitude because, you know, then they just do stuff for their friends and can't be having that. But with small business, it's been one of those things that I don't know why people don't follow this simple principle, and many the most successful ones do. And that is, if you really take care of your clients, focus on the client. And I don't just mean focus on the client in some kind of verbiage. It's a question. It's something you ask yourself consistently every single day. What do we need to do better to have a better result for our clients? And if that's the question that you're asking, you move in that direction, and you cannot stop people from coming and doing business with you. You can't. If you treat people really well and you give them a great deal and they never have to worry about what is going on behind the curtain, right? That they're being ripped off. If you always take care of people, treat them honestly, they'll beat a path to your door. I heard that, believe it or not, like 35 years ago when I was just sitting in a seminar or something and waiting for some drivel of wisdom.
Something to
spark me, right?
Something to get that return on investment.
Right. And I was just, you know, when you're just young and getting going, everything you hear is like, oh my gosh, let me write that down. It's so smart because this out-of-town expert, probably from Twin Falls, was here and telling you all these wise things. But the point is it is so true. And we call it, what do you call it, servant leadership, those kinds of things. And it is so true. But it is one of those things that also is very rewarding, but it is financially rewarding. And I think that's what we miss in business today, is this idea of how to upsell, how to do this. No, you don't necessarily upsell. Do the right thing every time, and people will beat a path to your door.
Yeah, but everybody upsells. You go to Burger King. And look, judging by my physique, I can say that I've been to Burger King a few times. They're upselling you with a cookie and stuff. I don't want a cookie. I just want my Whopper.
That's right. I know.
But everything's an upsell. So in a way, that can get obnoxious when we're looking at the upsell. I accuse my dentist of it. I love my dentist. But they go, well, I go, look, don't upsell me. And they start laughing.
Yeah. Because here comes a teeth whitener and all
right.
that stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. I know. And why do you need x-rays all the time? What's the deal with that?
Right.
Anyway.
By the way, we have Mike Miniger on the line.
Mike Miniger.
Miniger's Auto Body. I don't know if Mike Miniger is working today, but boy, this is a privilege. We've never had Mike Miniger and Dave Petzl on at the same time.
I know. That's why I called the three clowns. That's nice. Especially Petzl. I'm a little worried about him. I've been watching the markets a little bit, and he doesn't want me doing that.
No, I do not. Stop doing that.
Hey, don't upsell me, bro. I haven't been looking, Dave. I haven't been looking.
Good man.
I'm listening. So the upsell thing, huh? Is that what you're talking about, bro? You're a little tender, Kevin. A little tender.
Didn't know who you were talking to.
Well, both of you. Isn't he your co-host today?
Right now, yes.
Well, I know you want today off.
Although you might be, although it sounds like you're auditioning. Go ahead.
I wanted to. You need somebody?
Sure.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm not bright enough for you two. I'd be the dim bulb in the corner.
I'm just trying to figure out if this is just any meaning behind this, Dave, or is it just time to smack both of us today?
Well, you both need it. You know that. See, this is how you started with me, Kevin. You went off on body shops. You remember that? And you're heading down that trail today.
How's that, Mike?
Well, remember you said the body shops were out there to take advantage of you, that kind of thing.
I said body shops are like going to the doctor. The first thing they ask you is, do you have insurance?
That's right. Man, you have a good memory.
Well, for some things.
Well, we have to ask that. We've been through this, for gosh sakes. So I am going to work, just so you guys know.
No, that's reassuring,
Mike. No, Petso's not, though, is he?
I am going to work. Right after this.
You are?
Yeah, this is work. I mean, this is grueling. You grilling me, Kevin grilling me. I'm already working. I was up all night sweating for this.
I don't know why I called. I have nothing to say.
Yeah, it's I don't know why you called either.
Well, I can go away for a while.
Wow.
You talk about who's sensitive now. Come on.
Right. No. I enjoy both you guys. I listen to both of you. I unfortunately have to listen to Petso a little closer than I do Miller. But no, you guys have a great day. I just was driving to work a little late, you might notice.
Yeah, that's all right.
I skipped my gym day. That's not good.
Oh, no. That's okay. It's like the last day of the year. This is a free day. Free day. Tomorrow you got to get back on.
No. Oh, I will.
I'm just saying the guy at the good Verizon store, he's in early.
Like the guy at the good body shop? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
You know, I tried going to Verizon. I'll be honest with you. My phone service is Verizon, but I bought my phones from Apple. I just found it too frustrating to go to a Verizon store, and that's sad, but... It is frustrating. I'm going to have to agree with you, Kevin. But I guess you got help yesterday, right? Somebody helped you in the end?
Well, I gave them money, so yes.
How are we where we're paying $1,400 to $1,600 for a phone? When did that happen?
Yeah, Dave.
That happened when you have more technology in here, and you have the very best camera that you've ever owned in your hand. You have the best recording device you've ever had in your hand. You have the best GPS you've ever had in your hand. You have the Library of Congress in your hand. And you can even make a phone call. That's why. There's so much stuff in it, it's astounding. $1,500 is cheap when you think about what it does.
No, you're right. It's just if you can't read it, then you have an issue.
Well, this is the aging eyesight problem, and I resemble that remark.
Yeah, well, I can't even. Yeah, I got the biggest one they make. I think what I'm going to start doing is using my iPad as a phone. Would that look funny?
That would look very funny, but that's all right. As we get older, it's okay to look funny.
Went and saw The Mule last night.
All right, Mike.
About that.
All right, Mike Menegas.
Gotta go.
Yeah. We need to get back to some radio.
Thank you, Mike.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Kevin Miller, Dave Petso, KIDO Talk Radio. And we continue on. Dave Petso with us. Kevin Miller in the morning. So, 2018.
I know. Incredible. I can't believe it's gone. You know what? Feels
are you happy it's gone?
The millennial was just here. No. Market's correct, Kevin. That don't need to be up every year. It's okay.
Bet you were happy last week about that 1,000-point rally.
I was very happy about that. I was very happy about last week, period. Period. What I'm not happy about is the machines running all this trading up and down. That is just drives the average investor crazy, and that's not good. It's just not good at all. It just says the market's broken as a functioning mechanism, as a capital accumulator, and to some people. I mean, I get it. This happens, and it makes for incredible bargains. But the average person just gets nervous, and they stay out. And that's bad
for
the markets.
When we talk about the machines, what do you mean?
I mean the algorithms and black box trading. 85% of the trading now is done not by humans, but by machines that are high-frequency traders. They're trading on algorithms, and they can move the market very quickly. And when momentum picks up, all of them are set to do momentum trades. So when momentum is up or down, it runs at that direction even more intensely. There's no reason for a day like last Thursday when we have a market that is down 650 points and finishes up 250 points. That wasn't fundamental. It wasn't because Donald Trump had a tweet. It wasn't because we had trade war with China. It wasn't because the Federal Reserve, blah, blah, blah. And we still have the same nonsense we've been jabbering about for a decade. And the same people are up there, get on CNBC and all the others. Yeah, well, the Federal Reserve, it's all phony. It's all phony. It's all phony. Well, corporate profits aren't phony. They're not. Corporate profits have been record levels. The fundamentals are great. And we just have a mechanism right now where the market's volatile. And it's a good bargain, but still. I don't like that it runs that way because I think it just does not serve the public well.
Kind of wiped out a lot of gains this year, though, didn't it?
It wiped out the gains of the year for sure. And plus, as we head into the final trading day, 7% is what the S&P is down for the year. So not anything dramatic, but we did almost hit bear market territory, close, within just a hair.
Close to the bear.
Close to the bear. Just a hairline. So we could still hit it. But because we had another peak, in August or something like that, and we ran up, and a bear market is classified as 20% down from any peak. And we were at like 19.8 or something. It was close.
So what does that mean for the upcoming year? And really, isn't this just because the Fed decided to raise rates?
No, it's not. It's way more complicated than that because the Federal Reserve has raised the interest rates 9 times.
Well, the president seems to think it is.
I think that the Federal Reserve probably could have said it more nicely in the last announcement. And I have to agree with the president that they certainly didn't help. And I also have to agree with the president on this, that they need to back off a little bit and look at the data instead of saying we are going to put this on autopilot. That was probably a wrong statement. You don't say we're going to go on autopilot as if the market isn't telling you that there could be a slowdown, that there is no inflation, and global growth is slowing, even if it's not here in the U.S. at this point. It's not slowing down. But does that mean that we have to raise interest rates and have a super strong dollar, which is difficult for trade and so on and so forth, and very difficult for the rest of the world? So it is one of those things that I agree with the president. Why didn't he just say, okay, we're just going to watch and look, and the economy is very strong. We're going to raise this time because they wanted to, and I think that's fine. I think it's justified. But we are going to wait and see on any raises again in 2019. That would have been very calming for the markets.
And more with Dave Pezzo here. Now, Dave, the story of the year, in your opinion.
Wow. Well, that's a tough one, Kevin. The story of the year. I know as soon as I say something, I'll come up with something even way better. So I'll have to hold that. But as far as the markets go, probably the story of the year was the continued rally at the beginning of the year until we finally did have a correction. And the reason I say that is because in spite of all the naysayers, the market kept rallying in spite of the hatred of Donald Trump. The market kept rallying, and corporate profits came through. And if you will, the story of the year for the long term is, in fact, the corporate tax cut that went through that nobody thought could go through, that somehow the president got done. And that is, again, I can't prove a negative, meaning I can't tell you how many jobs would have gone overseas. But on the pathway that we were on for the last 3 decades of having the most nonsensical tax package in the world, we want to be the highest tax nation in the world, but we tell businesses to stay here? No, we're not. We're telling them to leave. And we did with abandon. And they did leave with abandon. And now they're not. And so this is a huge, I think it's a story of the decades, if you're talking financially. And we won't talk about it after it's done because, you know, it's done. And it just is what it is.
Now, for me, when we're talking about the markets, I'd have to say Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, Kevin. The collapse of Bitcoin.
Yeah,
yeah.
The rise and the fall of Bitcoin. What was it last year at the height? It was what, $19,000?
Yeah, almost 20. Yeah.
Right, and
yeah.
Now it's at today $3,700.
Yeah, yeah. After a rebound from 3, yeah.
You know, I'm doing this podcast with Tommy Ahlquist, mm-hmm. and we interviewed this kid. He's only 20 years old, already a Bitcoin multi-millionaire.
Hmm.
Quoted in the New York Post that Bitcoin has done, sold his first business. He's right from the Petzos School of Management. You're going to love this. Sold his first business at 15 and wanted to get paid in the millions in Bitcoin.
Hmm.
Now, imagine where Bitcoin was 5 years ago.
Right.
Even if it was around, but he was so brilliant to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you talk to these kids, and I mean, you hang out with the young hipsters.
Oh, yeah.
You're on the mountain skiing or hiking the Oregon Trail or whatever you do when you're not, got the ripcord and going across the Amazon or whatever.
That sounds fun.
But you look at these kids, and in the old days, we dismiss them.
Yeah.
But we're talking about real money, real issues, and you talk to them, and they're very wired in.
Right.
So you take a look at, are they the future? And the reason why I say this is because they just create their own industries and businesses. And we've talked about Nathan Berry here in the Treasure Valley. You've got Russell Brunson, Nathan Berry of ConvertKit, who came up with like a better, friendlier version than MailChimp for bloggers and such. You have Russell Brunson, who's all over social media when he's, you know, not telling us about his software program that can make you millions. You've got this young man, I'll get his name in a minute, that, you know, he hangs out with all the, I mean, he's found a way to make, going back to the Petzoism, a luxury, a necessity, a luxury, a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Kylie Jenner, or whomever. There's no business there. It's all on social media. Now,
right.
Not everybody can do that.
No.
But it's just something that I think a lot of us that were born and bred in the analog world and yearn for that sometimes, not you, Mr. Technology, but me, you just wonder, you know, what the future is going to look like with those folks.
Yeah, and it's really an interesting thing. You have to puzzle through so many different things, because social media is certainly not all bad, and a lot of curmudgeons, if you will, older folks like me, that don't like all the screen time for the grandkids and things like that, don't approve of it. I think that it is a problem. But at the same time, we have to admit that this is something that is really part of our culture. And the idea that families can connect, you can have phone calls. We take it for granted, for example. You can do FaceTime now with three or four parties. One's in Florida, one's in, you know.
Well, you see the Apple Elvis commercial, which is brilliant.
Yeah. All of this stuff is amazing, and it really does connect us. But it also makes us distant when we don't have real conversations, and people don't know how to have real conversations. They don't know how to deal with one another. I think that is the thing that we need to be very careful with in society, is making sure that people do have that communication. Not everything is in a text, but we actually have conversation. You pick up a phone, you call somebody, you go see them. I am concerned about that social element, if you will, because one of the things that social media also does is, to me, is it also creates this space where everything's okay. And even things in society that undermine the morals in society and undermine our what's okay. Like, it's okay as long as to do anything and be anything you want. If you want to be a man and you're a lady and vice versa, that's okay, and we need to accept that.
You're starting to sound like Kevin Miller here.
Well,
I don't know if that's
Kevin.
Good
my
for
concern
you.
Is that some of this is made okay when long term. I understand these are social. These are mental issues for people. They're real, and people are dealing with some of these things. But when we have to have a circumstance where everything goes in society, I wonder what happens to the kids if there's no boundaries. There's no, like, you know, mom and dad do whatever they want, and the kids are sitting there watching them do whatever they want. And this, I just think, spills out in terrible ways. And I think social media has not been great for that. I really do. I don't want people oppressed. I don't want people to. I'm certainly not saying, gee whiz, I think that the gay people are this or this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not sure that all of social media helps us have a normal society.
Right. It goes back to moral relativism, where there's no right or wrong. By the way,
yeah,
the,
there you go.
Google this, True Believers. Eric Finman, a kid out of Post Falls, Idaho, at 16, the New Yorker did a big profile on him. Eric Finman is the guy to watch.
Okay.
Dave Petzl, we appreciate you.
You too, Kevin. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Hello and good morning, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's what we would like to have you ring us up now. Love to visit with you. And if you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. What a week. Out of the blue, we're not supposed to start this way, but it's a big rally. A big rally. Markets are excited about the new year. Now they're not excited about the new year. We had some fantastic news, and this is just does not fit the narrative at all. Not at all. What do I mean by the narrative? The narrative is that everything is slowing down. We're going to have a recession because markets predict recessions, don't they? Or when we've ever had this inverted yield curve, then we always have a recession. And recessions are bad for stocks, right? And isn't the market predicting a recession? We're back to, isn't it predicting a recession? At the very least, corporate profits are not going to be good. The globe is slowing down. All of that continues to hit and be the narrative. Why? Why is that the narrative? Well, there's two things, and it's not as simple as saying that everybody hates Donald Trump. They do. They do. It is true. But we all have to dial back. I just don't think this changes. The noise level, the fear level, even when Donald Trump leaves office, it isn't going to change. The media has lost its collective mind. I get that. But it's also because it's so competitive. So they just have to scream at each other. And in this weird, weird world that we live in, and it is really weird, where people want to get rich quick, the need to get rich quick instead of simply easy over time. Kevin and I recorded an hour this week, and in that hour, one of the things Kevin asked was getting rich. He says, so tell me, how do you get rich? And I said, well, it's really this easy. You start, you put a couple bucks away, and you stay with it. But people don't want to do that. It really is that easy. I'm not kidding. It's not, this isn't hard. A couple bucks, like, oh yeah, you need like more money than I have. No, you start off, you put $100 away. And then you can make it 150, and then you can make it 200. But anyway, my point is simply this. A cup of coffee a day, $5 a day, which is $150 a month, over 40 years is over $1.2 million. A cup of coffee a day, $1.2 million. You say you don't have that? Baloney. Why didn't you start yesterday? Well, because you had a 10 excuses. But you've now heard this, and you know this, and you know it's true, and everybody's been telling you to put money away. Do it now. But that's what the markets have done. Forever. You say the last 40 years, well, those are really good. Really? 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 Yeah, better than now. I know, because everything's better than now. That's what the media does. It makes us stop and think. It makes our lives so fast. This is what's going on. So when we have this and we let this in, we allow that constant in, we allow ourselves to feel anxious. That's a normal human response. So when people tell me they're news junkies, I just look at them and go, really? Well, you realize that, you know, I'm going to try to fix everybody. I can't fix anybody. No, people that are news, they don't want to be fixed. They're junkies. That's what they want. They want their hit. But don't tell me it makes you relaxed or it makes you understand the world better. It doesn't. It's confusing. Only with thoughtful pulling away can you ever have any clarity. But junkies don't want clarity. And the media feeds that. It feeds our addiction to noise. And they're all yelling for your attention because you don't have to watch the three channels or get a newspaper for your news. There's so many outlets, so many to use up all of your time to where you never turned it off, to where you never have any wisdom about what's really going on in the world. Because only through quiet, thoughtful, maybe even prayerful time can you ever have any clarity. You know, I hear it sometimes when people are really fussed about, you know, what's going on in the markets. So I just hear quotes, right? All they're doing is quoting stuff. Well, what about the inverted thing, right? Because they don't know what an inverted yield curve is. They have no idea what that means. But they heard it. You know, the inversion thingy, the bobber thing. What, you mean like the weather or? No, you know, like there's an inversion thing. Right? Isn't that? We've all heard about the inversion thing. Because all you have to do is read. Open up the internet and there it is. You want to pop on any news site? But for example, let's see. Who hates Donald Trump more? Is it like CBS, which I think is Market Watch, or is it Bloomberg? Tough to tell. I kind of think Bloomberg hates him more, but because he's also running for office. But I have to say, on top of that, I think that Market Watch is run by the most curmudgeonous people in the planet. Okay? So they not only hate Donald Trump, but they just hate the world. So between them, I have to say you can't find any good articles. So when you immerse yourself in financial information, let alone the ads, it's all negative all the time. That's not clarity. That's not clarity at all. So when we're trying to work our way through and understand our world better, it doesn't help to have more data and noise. And when you go on, you need to understand. The inversion thingy is just more noise. And if we want to talk about the inversion thingy more, I'm happy to talk to you about why multiple times it's a false indicator. But you'd never know that. And when markets are telling us there's going to be a recession, they've done that 10 times for every recession that we've actually had. Let me repeat that. It indicates 10 times more what's coming than actually is coming. In other words, it's almost never right. It's more like a stopped watch. Don't watch the market going, oh, it's a great predictor. No, it's not a great predictor. It bumps into stuff from time to time. I'll tell you what it's a great predictor of, that the world's continuing to grow, corporate profits are growing, and the world has become more abundant. Therefore, we keep going to new all-time highs. We do have corrections in between, but for all of my life, my dad's life, my grandparents' life, my great-grandparents' life, it has relentlessly moved to all-time highs. Because that is what's happened. The world's gotten better. But you wouldn't know it with the news. Hard. Oh, it's hard. You have hatred of Donald Trump. You have people trying to make their own point. You have people that are screaming for your eyeballs, and you're not going to read a good article because apparently human beings don't want to read about good news. They don't. They don't want to hear it. So it's up to us You think it's going to change?
Mm-mm.
It's more competitive, leads to more screaming. And Donald Trump does not make a lot of friends. It's not going to get better. It's up to us to read. We'll talk some more. I got to take a quick break here. Dave, you hang on because we've got to take a quick break here, and then I want to have enough time for your phone call. So hang on. We'll be right back at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome back, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call, as well as an email at dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to Dave. Dave, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my wife and I are both 66, both retired. We had about close to about a million in our investments. We're having a meeting with our financial advisor, Monday, and I'm just trying to think and stay calm and stay the course. I just tuned into the program, so you might have covered this earlier, but just your idea or your suggestions on particularly the next year to me is. This seems scary, actually, just because of the politics. And so if I could just hang up and get your opinion, I would appreciate it.
You got it, Dave. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. And, okay, first of all, I guess we probably are, since we're supposed to have predictions for the coming year, we'll have some of those. Actually, I'll do those on Wednesday. I'm going to be filling in for Kevin on this coming Wednesday. So hopefully you'll tune in and have calls ready as well. But I will give you a quick example of how silly all of that is. I looked at my predictions for this year at the because we do that in January, and you throw some out. Like I'll give you an example. I thought that the liberal media would overstep and they would back off of Donald Trump. How silly was that? No, they don't ever feel that they're going to overstep. It got worse. That's how good predictions are, right? I thought Donald Trump's popularity would bottom. It didn't. I should say it kind of bottomed because it just stayed there. It just, no matter what, he has a hardcore group of people. A lot of us dummies in flyover country really think he's doing a good job. Not that he's the greatest human being, but he's doing a good job. But really, the market did not perform as well as, say, corporate profits did, right? So the market's down for the year. Predictions aren't worth, they don't matter. They don't matter, Dave. They really don't. And so I really want to reiterate what I think is going to happen over the next year and then say it doesn't matter because what I'm saying is I'm going to be right over the long haul because I'm always right over the long haul. And that is that staying invested when times are tough, when you get nervous, when the markets have these chaotic positions, temperaments, if you will, doesn't matter. They get over it and rip to all-time highs, just about the time where you can't take it anymore. You know, we actually had somebody literally like, what was it? Day before yesterday, right? Because where they were just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to need that money. Sell it all. Well, we don't recommend that on a day that's down, 600 points or whatever. Yeah, I know. Sell it. Well, of course, the next day, of course, we're up 600-700 points. We're up even more than we were down. And they're out. And what we miss or we forget is that really great days like that, and that'll go on the scale of the greatest 10 days over the next 10 years, I'm sure, right? When you miss those days, you miss all of the returns. If you were out for the whole week, you miss the down day. I get it. But you see, they're right next to each other. You just have to build a portfolio and roll through it. This whole idea that you're going to find some kind of product, you can listen a couple hours from now, you'll have an equity indexed annuity pimp tell you how you can have market returns with no risk. But we know you can't. And so everything else that's said, we know is a lie. So I can't parse through what somebody's saying and say, I wonder if that's true. I don't know if that's true. Maybe that part is true. Maybe his wife really is named Jill. I don't know. I don't know anything. If we're going to make stuff up, we don't know. And so as we're going through this whole process of saying, what's the best way forward? What's the best path forward? It certainly isn't going to be to guess what the market's going to do over the next 12 months. It's to build a portfolio knowing you're going to have market corrections that they're absolutely certain and normal to occur over and over again all the days of our lives, period. And when we go through political turmoil, think about the 70s. How did we survive that? Right? How did Ronald Reagan get through that? And yet he did. How are we going to get through this? We are. We're watching this bureaucratic mess, this swamp, being drained. It's not going to be the same because it's been exposed. It may not be what we want because Donald Trump may not survive long enough, but it is noisy because of this hatred. But watch what's happening fundamentally, because Friday fundamentally spelled it out, didn't it? The jobs market is on fire. Wages are rising, and they're particularly rising for the lowest wage earners, by the way. We'll talk more about that coming up because the fundamentals are incredible, and we can lose sight of that in political noise. We had the worst business president pretty much, certainly in my lifetime, maybe in all of history. And yet the market survived Obama, didn't it? It's going to survive this noise as well. That's the important thing to remember. Don't try to predict the next year. Live with the next year. The fundamentals are good. The world's growing. Stay with the program. All right, Dave, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. We'll be back for hour number two. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, as I say every week for 35 years, it just keeps, the clock keeps rolling. But anyway, over 30 years that I've been here. These are my opinions only, and I don't know what the market's going to do. We're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell, because that is idiotic, stupid, and is nothing more than taking our eyeballs off of what's really important. And that's trying to play this game right and getting rich. When we sit around and contemplate what's going to happen in the market the next week and all this, blah, blah, and yeah, we'll talk about it because I thought this last week was a very interesting week. And points to the fact of how hyperventilating we get over nothing. And we get frightened because we get immersed too much in the day-to-day. Well, that's the news media. Well, turn it off. If you sit there and watch the news all the time, don't tell me you're a news junkie and you get a good clarity of what's going on in the world. You're a junkie. You're a junkie. What is it? You know, the old computer saying, right? Bad data in. I kind of think it, you know, it's a little more graphic than that, right? Means bad stuff out, right? That's what you have. Our inputs really are terrible. This is why you know, when people talk about having the right kind of inputs, why it's so important. We think about it with children, but adults, we're supposed to, like, it's okay. Just having constant financial pornography, regular pornography, everything. We sit around and we contemplate what, you know, a Jewel or some person, the Kardashians, are doing. And if that does not impact our lives, of course it does. Of course it does. What could I possibly care about Jim Carrey, what he thinks about politics? He's not a politician. Why would I care? I would care if I thought he was a deep thinker, but I don't care because he's a funny guy. Good Lord, what's the matter with us? Okay, I wasn't here to rampage against that. What I'm trying to say is, what are our inputs? What are we putting in? Because bad stuff in equals bad stuff out. See, I'm not trying to be hyper spiritual here. I just want you to understand, I recognize this in me. If I start swearing, I'm more than, you know, I can't believe this, you know, stuff. Okay, more than a little bit, like, I start swearing, I know there's something wrong. There's something wrong, and I need to stop. I go, what's going on with you, man? Life is good. It's a wonderful, it's an abundant world. You couldn't have been born in a better time than this. What is really bugging you, dude? Why are the inputs that bad? What's going on? I need rewiring, see? Right? Okay. That's just a catch for me. Maybe it's not a catch for you. But I can tell you one thing. Rolling up and rolling out of bed and going, yeah, I'm just kind of grouchy today. Something's wrong. Well, what are we doing in the markets that we feel like when we live in the most abundant time, in the most abundant country? What's going on that makes us feel toxic? What's going on? Why are we so scared? Does this make sense? Are my inputs correct? Am I fully embracing and understanding how abundant the times are? Or maybe not. What am I allowing in? I mean, market corrections are normal, but we don't feel like they are. But they are. So instead of just like looking at it in the abstract and then saying, well, you know, yeah, market corrections are normal. But this was different. Yeah, and we get all wound up, right? Because whenever we go through it, then we become even more fixated on the box on the wall and our inputs become even bigger, right? It's kind of like we take a drug called open up my mind and spill all the garbage in, right? I need more data. No, you don't. You need less. You need less. You see, if you're, for example, you're in a harrowing situation like you're a pilot and there's a problem. I mean, a serious problem, like engine out or big problems. You don't know what's going on. The instruments aren't working. Stuff isn't working. What does a human being want? What do we crave? We crave more data, right? But what we really need is clarity, not more data. We need clarity of what we can know. It's like, think about it on a battlefield, right? What you need is clarity. You don't need to know everything that's going on behind you, around you, over you, potentially under you. You need to focus on what you need to focus on or you're dead. And a general's never going to have all the information on a field, right? They need to know enough, and then they need to shut it down and make a decision. It's kind of the same with all human beings. We can't have a continued flood of negative data and think we're dealing with this well, because we're not. We're not. And so we get into these times like this where there's this flow of horrible information. Horrible. What are we going to do in this terrible political environment? You know what? I think you're right. The politics are terrible. Our country's moving the wrong direction, or trying to, if you ask, you know, Elizabeth Warren and things like that. I mean, I think it's unbelievable to me. We're electing governors who are looking forward to the most progressive agenda ever in the history of the world. Like, that's worked before. Come on. But it's not, because those of us in flyover country, the dummies in the world, that's all right. We still got a lot of us, and it's okay. But it's loud. It takes us away from the fundamentals. Here's the fundamentals that happened Friday, okay? This jobs report was so good. I mean, it's so good that let's say I'm with MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, or CBS, or any of the others, right? Any of the other offshoots of those, okay? And I'm like sitting there going, what do I say about this report? I mean, my editor
So I can't talk good about the economy because that looks good for Donald Trump. What do I say? I say, well, this is just one report, and it is, and you'll hear me say that all the time. It's one report, and revisions could take it back. So I'm going to go, okay, revisions could take that back. This report was so good, so many jobs, that if they revise this down more than any revision in all of history, it would still be the greatest report that ever hit the deck. That's how great this was. Okay? That's the box that we're in if you're talking about recession coming. Before the recession hit, the greatest job report like ever in history happened. That would be weird. But that's how great this report was. It takes the argument of a huge economic slowdown, potentially a recession, completely out of the argument. It's like, no, that can't be. That's how big these numbers were. You have the biggest, like you say, you know what? I think that the revision would be like 50,000 jobs are taken away. It's still like over 250,000 jobs. Nobody even thought that's possible. That's how big it is. But here's the other part of it that we haven't talked about. So many people are coming back to the workforce that the unemployment rate rose. That's the greatest news. You say, well, how is it good that the unemployment rate rose? It's phenomenal that it rose because it means so many people are coming back. They think they can find a job, and they are. This is incredibly good news. Why? Because more people are now available in the pool of potential workers. That was a big concern, wasn't it? And then we'd have inflationary wage spikes and all that stuff. And here's the other news. Wages rose last year, total wages by over 5%. Even more on the lower end. And we all know it's true anyway, right? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Okay, well, I had a remodel going last year. Do I think that those folks made lots of money? Lots of money more than they did the year before? Yeah, because they're really hard to find them. It is. People are making a lot of money. That's great for the stores, great for the retailers. Why we had a great Christmas. Did we have a great Christmas? Yes, one of the best retailing seasons ever. People are doing very well. The only thing not doing well is us. The way we think of it. If somebody else has more than I do, then I'm just not doing very well, am I? We got to stop the comparison game. Of course we do. We've got to be content with what we have, or you'll never be content. If you're not content with little, you're not going to be content with much. It's always the case. But we're really, really, really good, especially now in the era of politics, everything's politics, comparing ourselves. I really don't have my own helicopter, so it's pretty miserable out there. I don't know how else to think of it because it is really weird how negative it is. We have this incredible jobs report. It was unbelievable. We had an incredible year. Economically, tax cuts are working. The job market in the United States is expanding. Companies aren't leaving. Yes, clearly, global growth is slowing down because China has met its match. They don't get to just steal stuff anymore. They don't get to just roll over, say, you know, we're going to build bases wherever the heck we want to. The Middle East doesn't just get deals. Yeah, we just really got to get along with Iran. Really? Why? They hate us. They try to kill us everywhere, and they're not now. It's a good year. ISIS, where are they? It's been a good year all the way around. But if you want to pick apart and find little things, absolutely. But it hasn't been a good year for liberal media because it's been a good year. Markets correct. Period. It's what they do. But what happened last week, especially on Friday, in the economic news, completely unhinges the idea that the economy is on the brink of a recession. That's what really happened Friday. It's also, in my opinion, it's not, if you read liberal, you can't give the jobs report because it just says Donald Trump's doing good economic stuff. They can't do it. So it had to be because of Powell. Powell sues the market. Yeah, he said the right thing, finally, that they were going to pull back if necessary. That's it. But I'm telling you, this unhinging of the idea that the market is indicating a recession with the turmoil was unhinged on Friday. That job report was unbelievable. Literally unbelievable. The economy is not driving off of a cliff. Maybe, just maybe, corporate profit growth is slowing. Maybe, just maybe, global growth is slowing. But the United States economy, looking like it's going to do another 3% on top of the 3%. That was never going to happen because it couldn't happen. We were told for a whole decade under Obama, hey, 1.5, 2, that's all you can do. It's all we can do. Isn't all we can do. When you free business to go, guess what they do? They go. They go. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I want to talk to you. I really need to talk to you. Let's ring it up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, I will be in on Wednesday for the entire, for 6 to 9 a.m. Doing Kevin's program. So love to have your suggestions. Seriously. What do you want to talk about? Shoot in some questions, okay? That's dave@petsofinancial.net. Love to hear from you. Love to talk about the things you want to talk about on Wednesday, as in right now. Now, here's the deal. I need some help. Okay, really, this is kind of a rough day for me. This is a rough day for me. It's been, I'm kind of in a slump. Here, you know, I think most people know that I had an accident and I broke my leg and so I'm now able to be mobile. This was a big, big day. Yesterday was day one in being able to walk on it. But as you all know who have a broken leg, who have had a broken leg, it means I can barely move places, right? So, and then on top of this, are you ready? I could care less about football, all right? That's just the thing. I don't really care about football. I just don't. I don't care much about football. Professional football, anyway. I like watching the college and all that because to me it's more pure, blah, blah, blah. And I love the Broncos. All right. So we have a Seahawk party to watch the game at my house. So I need your suggestion. I mean, what am I going to do? I can't run away, right? There's nothing much I can do. I just have to somehow suffer through a house full of people that are frantically loving this game. I know, I can hear you. I can hear my baby going, oh, honey, it's not going to be that bad. It is. It is. Yeah, Ray, you know this. It's when you've got a house full of people that are there. So I need some help here. I mean, come on. Let's ring up the phones. Maybe you got some suggestions besides heavy doses of whiskey or something like that to get through this. But I need some suggestions. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Because this is going to be a tough day. It's going to be a tough, tough day for me to survive a whole house full of Seahawk fans. I mean, it's like it's going to be tough. Need some help. So anyway, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, what your comments are. What did you think about this? This was an amazing economic report. This is an amazing turnaround. Do you think it will change the dialogue? I really do. Because the one thing you can count on Wall Street all the time, is you can count on Wall Street pretending they had it right all the time. So when there's a 1,000-point rally, a huge turnaround, this is big. This is just a huge change. And so now the dialogue and what's going to happen. The economy was never really in danger here. This was really all about the Fed or whatever. Whatever you have to say to Babel that you really got it nailed all along, that you really weren't worried about the economy tipping over, which J.P. Morgan and many other firms have been saying, we're really going to run into trouble in 2019. That's what they've been saying. You don't hear that now. Crickets. Crickets. The doom and gloom predictions are going to change. So I think you're going to hear a huge shift as the professionals of, I really have this, I can zig and zag and I know what's going on, have the, on the one hand, on the other hand, nailed down so good, so good, that they are going to be able to guide us now through this new revelation that really it's not the economy, not a problem at all. And what happens also, this is kind of big, and I'm going to talk about this Wednesday when I come in. Does this put Donald Trump and his negotiating team in a better position with China? Do you think this puts them in a better position this weekend with the Democrats in figuring out something with immigration? There is also a poll out. I want to toss this out as a further thought on this, okay? Jim, thanks for calling. Hang on, because we're going to grab Fox News so we have time on the other side here. As we head into the Fox News break, okay? We got to be thinking about these things because they are the news and they are overloading, as dumb as it is, politics. 47% of the people, not 27, which was the last poll. So nearly half the people think that immigration is a huge problem that needs resolution. Huge problem. Now that is a huge problem for the Democrats. Because they don't want to do anything about immigration. I mean, seriously, nobody on earth except a talking head for the libs is going to say, yeah, of course they want border security. They just don't want a wall. Then why have they voted down everything? Every single thing. They think it works in their favor. That has shifted. That's meaningful. So imagine a world possibly, I'm just saying this, right? Imagine a world where we just found out that the economy's not falling off of a cliff. Boy, did we ever on Friday's job report, right? Okay, that was big. Imagine where we might have a deal to open up the government. Imagine a trade negotiation that's beginning to show some real signs of flourishing. Imagine what could happen in that world. I don't see human nature's this. It ain't going to work. Ain't going to work. Ain't going to work. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Imagine, though, if we start to perceive as, guess what? Almost all the time, almost 100% of the problems we have, they get worked out. They really do. But imagine how explosive the market could be next year. There's a prediction for you. All right. Our number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I see something up here. That's Ray, are you a Dallas fan? Is this what I'm saying? Dallas rules? Oh, my gosh. Okay. The throwdown, the smackdown on the football game tonight is beginning. It's beginning. All right. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. If you prefer, email dave@petsofinancial.net. Jim, tell us what's on your mind.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Well, like you, I don't much like professional football. I like college football. But I think Ray beat me to the punch. If you want to excite your party, wear a nice big blue star.
I know. Yeah, Ray's in there very happy about that. Yeah, he's already loaned me a jersey. I'll be wearing that tonight because I'm sure that will make my lady very happy, and of course, her lady friends that are Seahawks fans. They'll be thrilled.
I'm not really, even when I was going to college in Texas, I wasn't a Cowboy fan, and I'm, you know, but I, for whatever reason, I dislike the Seahawks more. So I'll probably watch the game and root for the Cowboys.
Well, it's you know, actually, it's funny because people have changed their mind a little bit about the Cowboys. A lot of people didn't used to like the Cowboys. What was a comment somebody made? I didn't like the Cowboys until Jerry Jones stood up and said, "If you will not play for the Cowboys if you do not stand up for the national anthem." Just simple comment like that. Some people went, "All right, I'm a fan now."
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I don't know much about it. I don't even know what the whole thing is about it. I try not to pay attention to things like that that get me wound up for absolutely no reason under the sun. I mean,
True.
I get, why would I do that? I just try not to. People don't know this about me, but I can get pretty wound up anyway.
Well, it's our tribal nature. You know, like McCain and all these people saying, don't be tribal. Well, we've been tribal since we crawled out of caves, so, you know.
Yeah, true. You're right. And there's some benefits to that, too, when you think about it. I mean, really, to just have a happy old pride about something, you know, like your hometown team and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It doesn't mean you have to kill somebody else, like country, whatever, but you can be, you know, proud for you. And that's what Trump says. You know, even if you're not U.S. of A., but, you know, be, you know, pulling for your country to do better.
Right. So. Exactly. It's good. It's good for our heart instead of being in this always, I feel terrible because somebody else has more than me. Well, you know, be happy for other people that are being successful and all. It's good for our own souls,
True.
I think. Yeah.
I got a couple of comments to make on, you know, things you were talking to Kevin about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I think the term is called upselling. Is that what it is?
Yes, upselling. Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was mentioned, and I think maybe you or Kevin brought up the hamburger thing. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. My brother's pet peeve, one of his big pet peeves is, for instance, he'll go, you know, order a hamburger, and they'll say, would you like fries with that? That pisses him off. You know, his thing is, if I wanted fries, I'd have asked for fries. But the other, you know, the other comment was the x-rays at dentist's office.
Yeah, that was mine, yeah.
Well, you know, I found a dentist that, he's laid back, and he maybe takes x-rays every third time. But mm-hmm. he's not pushing stuff, you know. He'll tell me we need to keep an eye on that, but he's not hot to trot on making a buck or whatever, and mm-hmm. I really find that refreshing.
I do find that refreshing, and you know, what just happened is exactly what I am referring to. You just said great things about your dentist and can't say more, how great that is. And so if you're talking to somebody, yeah, I need a dentist, you'd say, you got to go see that guy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. When people take this and they say, how can we make the customer experience better and not be looking for how can we make the customer experience more profitable? You have to be profitable. I get that. Okay. It's not like you can, a restaurant, for example, can give away their beer. They can't. That's where they make all their margin, right?
Right.
But what I'm saying is you can not sit around and go, you know, if we take away that bowl of chips, that would increase our profit margin by 1%. But maybe that's what it is people come in and they like this cheap little thing that you give away that it draws them. You know what I'm saying? You want to make the customer experience greatest, and that is a very big positive, and they beat a path to your door. That's my point that's so great about small business, is you can find a way to wow clients and make the client experience better. And if it's in a business like mine, it's because you love them and you care about them, and they feel that. They know that from the moment you walk in the door. It has nothing to do with market returns and things like that. They know, or they don't know, and that's why they're not there. They know that you love them and you care about them more than anything that they could do for you.
Yeah, I mean, do what's necessary and not. It's kind of like you got a car. You know, and all this stuff that goes in the car, that's the thing. I want a car that goes from point A to point B, and that's pretty much it. But, I mean, a lot of people, for all these car washes, good grief, man. I mean, all the wasted water and the pollution, soap suds and all that stuff, just to make something shiny. The idea of a car is to go places, you know. And that's the same thing with a dentist, you know. Well, we could put caps on all these things and, you know, maybe spice up your smile. Well, is it necessary, you know? That's the thing. I mean, his standards may be more than mine. My standards is utility. Does the thing work? Not necessarily, you know, how much it looks or whatever, you know?
Well, I think it's, to a degree, but goodness gracious, I shower occasionally because I don't want to smell.
No, I shower. I mean, I can't go a day without taking a bath. I love baths. But I do feel grody.
You see, you really are a romantic guy, baths and things like that. You kind of you sound like a woman.
Why? Because I like baths?
I'm just saying, Jim, you act like you're an old curmudgeon, and here you tell me, you just shock me. You know, out of the blue, you're like, oh, I like, yeah, because I like baths.
Well,
I'm picturing you hanging out, having candles and little music, soft music in the background.
As a matter of fact. But, you know, I mean, you mentioned, I'm a dinosaur, and you mentioned analog. I'm most assuredly analog, you know?
Yeah.
And like I told my financial advisor, you know, when they came out and Apple, you know, lowered their estimates, I told her any day that Apple is having a bad day is a good day. You know, it's too bad that Apple has to bring back down the rest of the stock market. That's ridiculous. But
well, it is, but that's an indicator, and that's why, because it's a great company. And you leave my Apple alone. You leave my Apple alone. I'll talk about that another time, but they're the good guys out there, man. They are.
Well,
they're the ones that aren't selling your data. You want to be mad at somebody, be mad at Facebook and Google and stuff like that.
Well, I don't get on Facebook. I don't believe in that BS.
Well, I don't. I do because I like to sit and spy on my kids and grandkids. But you're not going to see a picture of me unless somebody caught me in the background. So.
Everybody's spying. You know, the word privacy isn't in the dictionary anymore.
Oh, well, I know. But see, you shouldn't be spying on, you, for example, shouldn't be spying on my grandkids. That's the thing. I know you're not. But my point is I should be able to, and that's what it's there for. Shouldn't be available for selling data.
People put, you just can't trust. You know, you can't trust Facebook or anybody else. Give us your data. We won't do anything with it. Oh, really? Okay, I'll believe that.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
Well,
all right.
Have a great game. And they say, as so goes January, so goes the rest of the year in the stock market. So.
You know, I probably should comment about that on the other side of this break here, and I will, okay? Because that's nonsense. And I'll tell you why at the on the other side of the break, okay?
Okay, no, well, take care.
All right, Jim. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You heard it. We're off to a break. Ring us up. We've got all the lines available. Love to talk to you on the backside. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our final segment upcoming, but plenty of time for your phone calls if you choose to dial in. We'd love to have your comments, questions at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. We'd love to hear from you. All right, so I closed out that last segment by saying I would talk a little bit about, as January goes, so goes the market, right? It's a very long-standing statement and a very true statement. Most of the time, certainly not all the time, because nothing is. Remember, if all these statements were true, you know, sell in May and go away, That wouldn't have worked very well this year. What about the September and October being so scary, but November and December being so lovely? What about that lovely December? You know, we just got the Santa Claus rally. No, didn't work at all. It was the opposite of that. September and October are last times we saw anything decent out there. Everything else has been volatile up and down. It's so frighteningly scary and normal and all that stuff, but we can't deal with it because nothing seems normal when it's overreported, overanalyzed, and we allow us to be absorbed in all that and think there's going to be a little bit more analysis if only we just listen harder and we could figure out stuff. Further from the truth, not closer. Isn't that strange about investing? Really, seriously, think about that. The more we know, the worse we do. Huh? Yeah. The more data we allow to come in, the worse we do. Weird and true. Weird. But it's so true. So what about the January effect? Well, let me tell you another one of those things that you go, that statistics lie and liars use statistics. Yeah, if January's up, then we now have a greater chance that the year will be up because we already started off 1/12 of the year in positive territory. Huh. And on top of that, guess what? Most years are up. Yeah, about 2/3 of the time the stock market's up anyway, 3/4 of the time nowadays. So if we're up 75%, so 3 out of 4 years are up anyway. And so that being the case, roughly speaking, 3/4 of the months are up. So January's up. We're already ahead for the year, which means now it's even improves those odds a bit. Why would it surprise us that if January's up, that 80% or whatever the number is of the years are up after that? That would be like statistical, absurdly obvious. That's what it is. It's like an obvious fact, not some data point. This is why we have to be careful. Whatever statistics you throw out, always go, okay, that could be data mining. Yeah, do you realize when you buy companies that are cyclically growing, have a little bit of momentum, and are high-quality companies, and have a really good balance sheet, and have really good sales, and all that, and we put it all together, we call it an ETF, and it goes like, wow, that is fantastic, because we've been data mining for the last 30 years, and we found this data that really comes out beautifully if we do that. So buy our ETF. I mean, there's all those all the time. There are some common characteristics you got to watch for. Of course, we want high-quality companies, all those things, okay? But they need to be proven over many, many, many decades. Some are so obvious. Anyway, it's data mining. Most of these market things are. Remember, most of the time the market's up. Most Januaries are up. And when you have January up, then you're already ahead for the year. So chances are even better that the year will be up. Duh. It's just another one of those you go, as January goes. So, as we see so many of these things, the Hindenburg omen and this thing there, and we have an inverted yield curve thingy, mabobber. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's scary. It's frightening, and we had it, did we? I don't know. Are we close? I don't know, but they scare me. And all of this just opens the door. It opens Pandora's box. It does. It just opens the door for bad things. If you'll only tell me it's guaranteed, I'll buy your equity indexed annuity that I can't get out of, and I'm stuck forever and ever, and I know it won't work, and I know that the insurance laws don't protect me at all. You can say whatever you want, and I believe you because you told me it was a guarantee, and I'm scared. And so people do things, and you can't come back. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not so scared now. I've learned some things in there. Oh, I've got 8 years of surrender charges I can't make. Oh, my gosh. I'm stuck, but I've learned, I've grown, I'm better, and you're dead. You're in it. That's what brings these out. Or I was just looking on the internet and I'm really nervous and I see this guy over here who predicted the last 17 perfect market moves. I mean, I'd have never heard of him, but he predicted the last this and that and those and that and this. And this is just incredible. He must be a genius. He can see the future. Click. Oh, no, this is going to happen. It doesn't lead us to clarity. Stop. Don't do that. Dial it back. Dial it back. Dial it back. Please. All right. Enough of that nonsense. Email time. Joe, thank you. Perfect point. When the S&P finishes down for the year in the past, the market has usually finished up the next few years and often in a big way. No kidding. Absolutely true. Absolutely 100% true. Rarely is a market down for any significant amount of time, or rarely is it down for any significant amount, but it sure feels like it at the time. I can't believe I lost $50,000. Yeah, well, you got a million. Yeah, but did you lose 50? I mean, seriously, isn't this the silliest thing in the whole wide world? The market goes down price-wise, not value. Price. What do you mean by value? Price only matters twice, when you buy or when you sell. So let's pretend you're not selling, just for a second. So and I'm not going to pick the greatest company out there. You know, don't worry, I'm not going to give you the Procter & Gamble story again. Okay, forget it. And I'm not telling you to go buy Procter & Gamble. I wouldn't buy Procter & Gamble. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Overpriced consumer goods company running into all kinds of trouble. But here's the deal. They've raised their dividend for like 70 years in a row. Not like exactly 70 years in a row. But let's take the whole market. Yeah, I know. Isn't that an amazing? If you haven't stopped and contemplated that and run that against like what the market did, the economy did and all that, I can't help you. If that doesn't make you go, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? In 2008, they raised their dividend. And they did it again in 09. Really? In 73 and 4 when the market got cut? You mean when the Twin Towers went? What? Who does that? We have to understand that this is an income machine, not a price machine. This is what's wrong with us. We can't even see it right. Because there is no financial news if we can't hyperventilate every day. If we don't have people like Jim Carrey, the market's falling apart, oh my gosh, nothing good's happening, the Fed doesn't get it, oh my gosh, the politics, the trade wars, the this, the that. I mean, if we don't worry about price, if all we worry about is whether Procter & Gamble sells enough soap and diapers in Brazil and other countries all around the world that they're going to raise their dividend over time, there is no financial news. And we would all have great peace. We would literally have great peace. We wouldn't even care. So, oh, the market was open today? Oh, well. Oh, okay. We wouldn't care if we had the right perspective. If you simply think about this, let's talk about right now. All this chaos and what's going on right now with the market. The S&P 500, let's just call that the market, okay? If you want the Russell 2000, the whole market, I don't care which index, but because they're all the same. What has happened over the last 3 months? Did the income you receive from the dividends of your portfolio go down? I mean, what matter? The income you receive, because let's pretend we can't price things every second of every day. The income you receive, in other words, the only thing that matters, unless you're buying or selling, the only thing that matters, did that go down? Final Jeopardy question. The answer is no. Did it stay the same? No. What? Stop right there. It didn't go down. It didn't stay the same. Stop it. That only leaves it went up. There's no way. There's no way. Because I looked at my portfolio. I push the button every day religiously because I want myself to feel like crap. Every evening I want to go, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to stop the bleeding. Do we go do this? Do we do an equity index annuity to throw it in? What do we do? I want to push the button every single day because I want to behave badly. I want to make sure I do. And so instead of that, you're telling me my income went up. How crazy is that? That's what the market is. And Mark, it increases your income over time like nothing else on the planet. We just have to let in all that financial news because there would be no news without it. Find peace. Turn it off. I'll be on Wednesday. I hope you'll tune in. We'll talk to you next week.